This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Right, so welcome to tonight's Parsha Shir, Parsha Shmos. We're now starting a new Sefer. Tonight on the menu we have three very different ideas, all three different styles almost. And the first idea is based on a Ramban. The Ramban, now that we're starting Sefer Shmos, has a Hakdoma to each of the five Sfarim in Chumash. And it's a short Hakdoma, but he says a lot. In this Hakdoma, he mentions that Bereshis is called Sefer Hayetzira, the base, the book of creation. And Shmos is called Sefer HaGolus VaHaGu'ula. That's the theme, the overriding theme of the whole of Sefer Shmos. Now, I've extracted, this is pretty much the whole of the Hakdoma. Let's take a look at the first paragraph on the page, which is the majority of his Hakdoma. It's only a short Hakdoma of 6 or 8 lines. He mentions a few things which are very noteworthy. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Says the Ramban, Hakdoma l'Shmos. Hishlim hakosuf Sefer Bereshis. We've just concluded Sefer Bereshis. Shehu Sefer Hayetzira. That is called Sefer Hayetzira. Bechidush ha'olam. With the creation of the world, the Yetziras Kol Netzah, and the creation of all created beings, of a Mikri HaAvos, and the incidents, the stories of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Shvatim, Shehem Ke'inyan Yetzir Lezarim, which is a form of creation of their offspring. That is really why Sefer Yetzirah is true for the entire Sefer Bereshis. V'achrei Shehishlim HaYetzirah Hischel Sefer Acher, and now we finish Sefer Bereshis, we begin a second, the new Sefer, Be'inyan HaGolos UveGu'ula. With respect to Golus, exile, Gula, redemption. V'hine, HaGolus einenu nishlam ad yoim shuvom el mekoimam. What is Golus and what is Gula? Now this is a very interesting thing. How would you define Gula? You can define it in different ways. Is it political redemption? No more Shibud Malchus. Is it geographical redemption? You go back to the land. Or is it something else? The Ramban says it's something else. He says, "Ein nishlam ad yom shuvan mokaymom." It only applies when we go back to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'el milas avoysom yoshuvu, and we attain the lofty level of our avos. That's a pretty high level to achieve. Uchsheyotzum mitzrayim, and then he carries on and says, when we went out of Mitzrayim, afal pishayotzum beis avodim, even though we left Mitzrayim in Parshas Beshalach early on, Adayin Yechoshu Goylim, we're still considered in Golos. Ki hoi ba'aretz lo lohem, nevuchim ba'midbar. There we are, trapped, wandering in the midbar. Uchashabol har Sinai v'osu ha-mishkan. And then, when we go to har Sinai, then we build the Mishkan. V'shav ha-Kodesh Baruch Hu v'hishra shchinosu b'neihem. And through the Mishkan, which is the second half of Sefer Shemayis, HaKodesh Baruch Hu sort of again resides amongst us, the Shechina is there. Oz shavu el ma'ilis ha-vayisam. Again, he says the same thing. That's when we can attain the eminent level of our forefathers. V'oz nechshavu gulim, and only then are we considered redeemed. V'lochein nishlam ha-sefer hazeh ba'ashlima inyan ha-mishkan. That's why the Sefer Shemos ends with the whole story, construction and the story of the Mishkan. V'yos kved Hashem, mole yos etomid, and the kved Hashem, the glory of Hashem, fills the Mishkan. That's why Sefer Shemos is called Sefer HaGolus V'HaGu'ula. Now, two interesting points. Point number one, in this 6-8-line introduction, he mentions this idea of El Milas Avosom Yoshuvu, that Ge'ula is defined as returning to the very lofty, eminent level of our forefathers twice. Why does he mention it twice? Why is that so pressing, so important? And second of all, the actual definition of Ge'ula is so interesting. You see, and by the way, this I saw in the writings, it's the Ramban, but it's elucidated, the observations are from Rameh Twersk. Rameh Twersk, he's got a new Sefer out. He's one of the Rosh Shivas in Yitzchak Chon in YU. There's a Sefer someone brought out recently of his Torah together with Rav Herschel Schechter on Parsha. And I just got hold of it, it's a fascinating Sefer. And I just came across this idea, these writings on Shmos, this Ramban. The second idea he mentions is that the Ramban, when you define Geula, he defines it as spiritual Geula, not physical or geographical, nor political. Now, you might have thought to define it differently, because in the Gemara in Brachos, for example, says that let's take a look at the second box. Rabbi Alexandri bossed the matzli after Alexandri after he davened. Omar Hochi, this is what he said. Ribbon ha'ilamim, golu v'yodol lefanecha, it is well known to you, sherit seinenu la'aseh sretzenecha, that our will is to do your will. Umi ma'akev, what's stopping us from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from doing the Ratzon Hashem? Se'er shebe'issa, says Rashi, the Yetzohara shebevavenu, it's the Yetzohara which is distracting us. V'shibud malchias, and the pressure, the influence of society around us. So you see that political redemption is significant. And the Rambam says this clearly. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says in Perek Tes Halacha Beis, why is it the Chachamim, the Nevi'im, so desperately longed for the times of Moshiach? So there would be respite from the Malchus who didn't allow us to learn Torah over mitzvahs and perform mitzvahs kahigan as one should. There'll be peace, there'll be calm, and there'll be an increase in chachma that we'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu undisturbed, and through that we will be merit to go to Elim Haba. So you see that the Gemara, the Rambam, and Chazal place a lot of emphasis on the importance of political freedom, not being oppressed from Shibud Malchus. And yet, the Rambam does not define Geula as mere political freedom, nor does he define it as geographical redemption. As important as Eretz Yisrael is, and Eretz Yisrael is certainly paramount in the Torah view, but that's, again, not how the Ramban defines it. The Ramban in Parshas Achrimos, the same Ramban who's quoting, in Parshas Achrimos on the Pasuk, Vatitma ha'oretz for efgoed avino leo vatoki ha'oretz es yoshveha, the land will sort of throw out, will vomit out the people, says the Ramban, v'hine Hashem ha'nichbad hu elokei elokim v'adoni ha'donim l'chol olam, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the whole world. Aval Eretz Yisrael emtsoes ha'yishuv hinachlas Hashem yuchedes lishmoi. Eretz Yisrael is the Nachlas Hashem. It's the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course it's paramount in the eyes of the Ramban, but the same Ramban says that's not Geula. Just going back to Eretz Yisrael is not the final redemption. What is the final redemption? El Milas Avosam Yoshuvu. What a fascinating way to put it. Now what does he mean by that? Returning to the lofty levels of our ancestors. So that, if we there's a famous, it's a Chazal, it's a Tana de Velio. I've got it in paragraph C. The Chazal tell us, Chayev Odom Loimar Mosai Giyu Maisa Lemaisa Avosa Avram Yitzchok V'Yaakov. Person's got to constantly remind himself, when are my actions going to emulate those of the Avos of Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov, Sarifka Rachel V'Leah? Which is an amazingly high standard. But a person, says the Tana de Velio, Chayev Odom Loimar. He's got to say that. What he's getting at is aspiration. Aspiring for greatness. Rabbi Leff makes the following amazing observation. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, take a look at the penultimate box on the first page, Omer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Hai man, the boy mehave chasida, a person who wants to be a chasid, a very pious person, lekayim mili de nezikin, he should fulfill the mitzvahs of nezikin, which means damages. He should be very careful in monetary affairs. Rav Omer mili de ovus. No, better he should focus on Pirkei Avos, those sort of things. V'omri lo, and others say mili de brachos. Others say brachos. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Marsha who says on this Gemara that all three are necessary, because all three represent, a person wants to be a chassid, to be a pious person, he has to focus on three relationships we all have. One is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one is between us and other people, and one is between us and ourselves. These three represent those three. Mili de Nezikin represents our interactions with other people. Mili de Ovis represents the ideas, the themes, the sayings of the sages in Pirkei Ovis represents your own interpersonal, your own development, your own Beinol Vein Atzmai. And Mili de Brachos is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like I said earlier in the previous shift. So you see, those are the three concepts. But here's the question. If you want to be a chassid, you should master these three areas. So it should say, a person who learns nezikin, avos, and brachos will be a chassid. That's not how it puts it. How does it phrase it? Omer Rav Yehuda, Haiman the boy lemehave chasida. There's two stages. He's got man the boy means he wants this man who wants to become a chassid. If he learns nezikin, ovus, and brachos, he'll achieve it. The first stage is he's got to want it. That's why it expresses it in that way. Haiman the boy mehave chasida. You want to be a chassid. This is how you do it. But if you miss out stage one, you don't have that aspiration. You just learn nezikin, ovus, and brachos. Not necessarily. And that's again the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says an amazing thing. Bishmol Oimer, Harese Sheyishakim, a person who wants to become wise, Yasek B'dini Mominus. He should focus on Dini Mominus, financial learning, Cheshin Mishpat, these sort of things. Shein Lechom Ikseh B'Torah Yosemin, because it's the most complicated area of Torah. Shein Kamayon Neveh, it's like an overflowing spring. But again, it should say, a person who learns Cheshin Mishpat, Dini Mominus, will become a chacham. Doesn't say that. Haroitze sheyishakim, a person who wants to become a chacham, then he does that. It's two stages. That's why the Gemara says, yachkim yadrin. If a person wants to become wise, he should face south, and yashir yatspin, I think it says. If he wants to become wealthy, he should face softens. Why? Because the menorah is in the south, so you face the menorah, which is the symbol of chachmah. Then that's why a person shackles. Yeah, they say if you shackle that way and that way, you get a bit of both, right? So you face south, so that because you're facing Mizrach, right? So you've got to go a bit that way. So Yadrin, if you face south, then Chochmah, and if you face north, that's where the Shulchan is, and therefore you get Ashiras, you get wealth. But again, the Gemara should just say, Yadrin Yachkin, if you face south, you get wise. Or Yatzbin Yashin, if you face north, you become wealthy. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Haroitze sheyachkim. Again, it's two stages. It's got to be a rotzen. Let me look at how Rabbi Twersky puts it. Look at the bottom paragraph. He puts it in a very poetic, very beautiful way. Mediocrity of our spiritual aspirations is one of the Achilles' heel of our generation. What a lovely sentence. Mediocrity of our spiritual aspirations, having mediocre aspirations, spiritual aspirations, is one of our weak points of our generation, the Achilles heel of our generation. To transcend the numbing materialism of our times and attain kivras elokim, to achieve closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we must aspire to such transcendence. Redemption awaits, but inspired aspiration must precede. So that's really his take on the Ramban's Hakdama to Sefer Shemos, that the focus is on this aspiration, that really we should be striving al milas avosim yashuvah, because that is the true definition of geula. Okay, let's press on. Now, there is a very enigmatic character that we heard of in primary school, but I thought I'd just put together a few mamori chazal about her, just to give a bit of context who she is and what chazal say about her. Serach Bas Osher. What do we know about Serach Bas Osher?
She sang, she
played the harp, and she was the one who told Yaakov Avinu that she played a pivotal role not only in the end of Sefer Bereishis, but also at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Let's see what Chazal say about her, because I think there's something, it's very interesting. We're familiar with it, but it's nice to see where it all comes from and put it together a little bit. Says the Gemara in Sotah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Minayin Hoyu Yodea Moshe Rabbeinu Heichon Yosef Kavur. We're fast-forwarding a few weeks. When Klal Yisrael are ready to come out of Mitzrayim, they're ready to go, but they've got to take Atzmus Yosef with. So Moshe Rabbeinu is in Mitzrayim. He's living many years after Yosef has already died. So how did he know where Yosef is buried? Says the Gemara, Minayin Yodea Moshe Rabbeinu Heichon Yosef Kavur. Omru, they said, Serach Bas Osher Nishtayra Me'os Hador. So they told him, you know what? Serach Bas Osher, Serach, who is the daughter of Osher, the daughter of Yaakov Avinu, she is still alive. She was around at the time of Yosef's death. She knows. Holach Moshe Etzla. So Moshe went to Serach Bas Osher. Omar lo, Klum At Yodas Heichon Yosef Kavu. Do you know where Yosef is buried? Omru loy, Aron Shemateches Osu LeMitzrim. The Mitzrim made a coffin of metal for Yosef. V'kavu b'nilas ha'nahar, and they placed it, they buried him in the Nile, k'dei she'yizborchu meimov, because in the hope that the waters of the Nile would be blessed. Holach Moshe v'omed al sfas nilus. Moshe Rabbeinu went and stood on the banks of the Nile. Omalo Yosef, Yosef. Higia ha'esh nishba kodesh baruch hu she'ani goel eschem. The time has come for the gula. It's time to go. And the Gemara continues there and explains how it all happens. So you see that Serach, number one, she played an important role in facilitating the departure of Klal Yisrael by telling Moshe where Yosef is buried. That's number one. Now, just by the way, Tosfos asks a very interesting question. Tema, this is Tosfos there in Saito. Tema, I've got a question. V'halimachir v'yair ben Menashe, the two sons of Menashe, the grandchildren of Yosef, noldu b'mei Yaakov. They were born in the times of Yaakov, v'hoyu miboy haaretz, and they entered Eretz Yisrael. So lama lo shalom Moshe? So why didn't Moshe go ask them? They're the grandchildren of Yosef, the sons of Menashe. They were alive. Why did Moshe not go and ask them? They're more directly connected, if you like, to Yosef. Serach was a niece, but they're grandchildren. Yesh lema, says Tosfos, shesoid ha-geula nimtza le-Serach. Here's point number two. Serach was privy to the secret of the geula. What does that mean? Kadis of Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says, Kivan shebo Moshe, when Moshe came, holchu zikne Yisrael etzlo, the zikenim of Klal Yisrael went to Serach, lefi shekvan nichshel al yedei b'nei Ephraim, sheyosu shlosh shonim, shono lefnei haketz. They were worried. They were, this person showed up, Moshe Rabbeinu, and said, it's time to be redeemed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me, and now it's time to leave. And they weren't sure. What weren't they sure about? It says Tosfos, they weren't sure because there was a false alarm 30 years earlier. The Bnei Ephraim thought the time for Gula had come, and therefore they left, but it didn't work. They were killed. They sort of jumped the gun. And therefore, they were hesitant to just believe Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore they went to consult with Serach Bas Oshe. Is Moshe Rabbeinu, is he the true Goel of Israel? Is he the Redeemer? V'nimlechu atobo, and now they consulted her, Serach Bas Oshe, v'omr lohem, and she told them, ma loshen omr lohem. This Goel, what did he tell you? What language did he use? HaMashiach, with Hazer, this Savior. Omru lo, so they said to her, pokoid pokadati. He used that expression of pocket pokadati, Omer Lohem. So she said to them, he's got the secret. That's the password. Omer Lohem and Cain, who he's the guy, lekacholach gam Moshe etzla. And since she was the one who revealed to the Zakenim that Moshe is the fellow, because this was a tradition handed down, Rashi I think brings it from Avram to Yitzchak to Yaakov to Yosef, and then it was handed down to Serach. And she was the one who identified Moshe Rabbeinu as the Goel Yisrael. So therefore, Moshe, she had a track record, and therefore Moshe went to her and not to the grandchildren of Yosef, the sons of Menashe, because she was the one who correctly identified Moshe Rabbeinu. So far, two critical roles that she plays. Number one, in getting the Aron of Yosef, and number two, in identifying Moshe Rabbeinu as the Goel Yisrael. Amazing. Now, interestingly, in Meseches Kala, which is one of the Meseches Ketanas, it says, Shiva nichnasu b'chayehim leGan Eden. There are seven people who went into Gan Eden in their lifetime. Who's first on the list? Eluhen Serach Bas Oshe. She's there, number one on the list. Now, where, what, why? What does she do that merited this? So the Pasuk, interestingly, in Pashas Vayigash, it says, Ubnei Oshe, the children of Oshe, were Yimno, Yishva, Yishvi, etc., the Serach Achoson. Now the Targum Yonasun Ben Uziel on that pasuk in Vayigash says this: Ubnoi de Oshe, the sons of Oshe were Oshe, were Yimna, Yishva, Yishvi, etc. For Serach Achasoin, says the Targum Yonasun Ben Uziel, the Idabris Katikayoma Lignuso de Eden. She went in her lifetime to Gan Eden al the Bisrus the Yaakov de Yosef Kain, because she was the one who told Yaakov that Yosef was alive. Says the Hadar Zakenim, which is one of the Das Zakenim in Bale Atosus, Vayagidul Olemar, Medrash Hu. The Medrash, when they told Yaakov Avinu that Yosef was alive, the Medrash says, why does it say Lemar? Lefishe Serach Bas Oshe, Yotze Likrosom, Vishom Ashoy Medabrim Men Yosef. They heard they were telling, they're about to tell Yaakov about Yosef, Vechi Uchai, that he was alive. He was an old man, he was 130 years old. It was, you know, you can't just break news, you've got to break it very gently. Rotzesov Vigdima Vigidul Yaakov. And she gently, Midrash, she played the harp, she very gently told him the news. V'omalah, and Yaakov Avinu was so elated, I'm hearing that Yosef was alive. V'omalah, kein techaye, you're going to live a long life. He blessed her. Omibirchoso shel tzadik adayin hichayo, her life never ended. That's the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. That's why she was able to get into Gan Eden alive. And he quotes the Seder Olam that Hashechaya lo Olam. So you see three very important things that she did in her lifetime, Serach Masashe. Number one, she was the one who told Yaakov that Yosef's alive, and because of that, Yaakov blessed her and promised her longevity, which was fulfilled in as much as she never died. She went into Gan Eden alive, says Maseches Kala. Number two, she was the one who correctly identified the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael, the girl of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, and with the pocket pocadity. And number three, she was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu went to find out where Yosef was buried, which again facilitated the Geula. Okay, that's Ad Kan. Just by the way, Derech Agav is worth mentioning that the Ramban in Vayigash quotes the Targum Unkelus, not the Targum Unkelus in Mezil, the Targum Unkelus in Parshas Pinchas, who says that it's a very funny expression. It says v'serach achoisam, and in short, the Targum Unkelus there says that Serach was actually not the daughter of Asher, but the stepdaughter, and she was adopted. In fact, a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken, in the Halacha Shir, we did adoption in Halacha, and this was the trigger. We did a Parshas Vayikash, I think, because it's a Targum there. But anyway, that's for another time. But anyway, that's just some interesting insights into Serach Bas Asher. Okay, let's move on to the third and final piece. This final piece is very different to my normal style. It's something I came across in the Sefer called Torah Tavlin, and it's a Kabbalistic concept, but it's just so interesting. Maybe you're familiar with it, I don't know. It was chiddush to me, to be honest. And maybe it is for you as well. It's the writings of Rav Shimon Me'ostropolia. Rav Shimon of Ostropol, he was, that's Poland in the 1600s. And he was a famous Kabbalist. What he says, well, you'll see what he says, it sounds like Hasidish a bit, because he died 100 years before Hasidus started. He died in the Kalmanicki massacres. He was killed al Kiddush Hashem in 1648. 300 Yidden were taken in Talas and Tfilin. They went into the shul to Davin, and Cossacks came in and killed them all. And anyway, this is Rav Shimon of Ostropol, Hashem Yimkim Domov. And this is what he says. Look at the bottom box. This is quite astonishing. We know in this week's Sedra that Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and he sees the Shibud in Klal Yisrael, and he sees Ish Mitzri Maka Ish Ivri, and he kills him. Now, we read the parasha, we're familiar with the story, maybe we've heard ideas here and there, but there's a lot more going on over here. Let's take a look. Vahanire, ki yodua hu me'amukubolim, it is well known amongst the Kabbalists, k'mesh mevu b'shlod, the shlod, the shibole haleket brings, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu married the daughter of Yisro? Was it just that was who he married? Is there anything else going on over there? So he says the following. If a person kills another person, his blood will be spilled. Pasuk in the Torah. In that pasuk, that word be'odom is superfluous. It could have just read ki shofech dam odom. If a person spills the blood of another person, dom yishofech, his blood will be spilled. Why be'odom? V'omru ki mechuyev hu al pi gilgul. It's mechuyev al pi gilgul, reincarnation. Kasher Reuven horeg Shimon. If Reuven kills Shimon, la'acha kamashonim, after many years, maybe many centuries, mechuyev Shimon Laharoges Reuven. The order of the world states, natural justice, as it were, dictates that Shimon has got to kill Reuven in revenge. Vahainu, sheyisgalgalu beis haneshamas. Both neshamas are going to have to come back. Vahanehirag, and that person who was killed, yaharoges ahirig, will have to kill the murderer. That's how he understands the extra odom in this pasuk, v'lezehu omer ba'odom domi yishofich, that it was ba'odom, the person who he killed is going to have to kill his blood. So now you read the pasuk, ki shofich dam odom, But Odom, that Odom is going to be reincarnated, and he will then, Domo Yishofech, he will kill the murderer, either in that generation, or perhaps many centuries later. Okay. Now, V'hine Yodua, Shekayin Horag Es Hevel. First murder in history, very beginning of creation. Odom and Chav are born, they give birth to Cain and Hevel, and Cain kills Hevel. V'huchrach, and based on the above, what we just said, V'huchrach Hevel l'harag es Cain. Hevel has got to come back and has got to kill Cain. V'hine yodua, she'Cain hoylo nefesh ruach neshama. Cain, who killed Hevel, is made up of three parts: a nefesh, a ruach, and a neshama. V'nisga, and therefore, the Gilgul that Cain is going to have to come back to actually manifests itself in three different people, because he is made up, a composite of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. V'nisgalgel ha-nefesh b'mitzri. You know where the nefesh ended up? It ended up in this Mitzri who Moshe Rabbeinu killed. V'ruach, and the ruach part of Cain was reincarnated b'koirach. V'haneshama, and the soul was reincarnated b'yisrei. So you see that Cain, when he killed Hevel, he had to be reincarnated in order that he's going to be killed again at some future date. He was reincarnated in Koirach, Yisrei, and this Mitzri. V'zeh mevuah b'mikra. And that's alluded to in the Pasuk, because it says when Cain killed Hevel, ki shivosayim yokum. In many generations, yokum. You will get your vengeance. Yokum, what's Rosh HaTevah? Yokum, Yisro, Korach, and Mitzri. Amazing. Now, Moshe, hoya gilgul shel Hevel. Moshe Rabbeinu was the gilgul of Hevel. Kumarum is Rosh HaTevah shel Moshe. The Rosh HaTevah's Mem, Shin Hei, Moshe Rabbeinu's name, is Moshe, Sheis, and Hevel. He originally was Sheis, and then before that he was Hevel. V'huchrach Moshe l'harages ha-mitzri. And therefore, Moshe, who is a reincarnation of Hevel, his job was to kill the Mitzri. V'laharages Korach, and to feud and duel with Korach and kill him. V'haneshama ha-yisrael l'olam Yisro, and he had to, if you like, bring Yisro into the Jewish people and rectify his neshama. Astonishing. Now, it goes further. V'hine yodua, why was it that Cain killed Hevel? So you could say there was jealousy, but there's more. Because, who did they marry? Odom and Chav had children, there was Cain and Hevel. But who did they marry? They need to populate the world. So Chazal tell us they were born with twin sisters. But Cain had a twin sister, who he lived with, and they produced children, and Hevel had two sisters. That's why, by the way, in Arias, of course you can't marry a sister. The Torah says, we lean on Yom Kippur in the afternoon, that Arias are called Chesed, ki Chesed, ki Chesed, it's all considered Chesed. When you have Chesed and Din, Chesed is an overflowing when it rains, that's Chesed. But if it pours and pours and pours, until there's, you know, the river bursts its banks, that's overflowing of Chesed, it's dangerous, it's destructive. Well, Arias is an overflow of Chesed. That's why it's called Ki Chesedu. That's why the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam Chesed Yibonah. The world was built because of Chesed, because Cain married his sisters. That's how it worked. Okay, that was just an aside. Now, V'hine Yodua, look at the final paragraph. V'hine Yodua, Mipnei Mahora Cain Lehevel. Why did Cain kill Hevel? Mipnei Tzu'umi Yeserish Enoldo Hevel. Because there was an extra twin who was born with Hevel, Kadichsiv. Vatoysef loredes es ochiv es hevel. Why the extra s? To teach me, melamit shenoldo tumo yiseira. V'lokach hevel shnei tumo yisof. And Hevel took his two sisters, hanoldim imoy, who were born with him, to marry them and to have children. V'ome Cain, shehu abachar. Cain said, hey, I'm the bachar. I get double portion. Why are you getting two wives? I've only got one. Magia lo hatumo yiseira. It's appropriate that he gets the extra wife. And because of that, he killed Hevel. Therefore, Yisrei had to give his daughter to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Tzipora was the Gilgal of the extra twin that was born with Hevel, and it was the cause of Cain being jealous of Hevel and therefore killing him. Moshe Gilgal Hevel. The Yisro was the Gilgal of Cain. So you see, you know, we read the parasha and Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and he kills the Mitzri. There's loads more behind the scenes that are going on. So an astonishing idea. Again, not my normal fare, but something which I came across and I thought would be worth sharing, because I think it's just fascinating. So in other words, what is he saying? This very interesting idea, Kishofech dam odom, ba'odom dam yishofech, ba'odom means that natural justice dictates that Reuven kills Shimon. Shimon is going to have to come back as a Gilgal in order to kill Reuven. That's how it's going to be. Maybe many centuries later, Cain killed Hevel, and therefore Cain is going to have to come back, and he came back to get his revenge, to be revenged upon, and it came back in the form of Korach, the Mitzri, and Yisro. Kishivosayim Yokum. Yokum is Rosh Tevis, Yisro, Korach, and Mitzri, and Moshe was the Gilgal of Hevel, and therefore it was appropriate for him to come back and to kill these three, as it were, the Mitzri, Korach, and then to sort of rectify the neshama of Yisro. And moreover, that he had to actually marry Bas Yisro, which was that she was a Gilgal, Tzipora was a Gilgal of the second twin of Hevel. So something quite different, but something very, very, very interesting. So what have we seen tonight? Three interesting and very different ideas. The first is the famous Hakdom of the Ramban on Sefer Shemos, that he calls Sefer Bereisha, Sefer Yetzira, Sefer Shemos, Sefer Golos HaGeula. And he says, what is Geula? Geula is not only going back to Eretz Yisrael, but El Malas Avosim Yoshuvu, aspiring the greatness of the Avos. And he says it twice. And the idea is, it's not political redemption, it's not geographical redemption, but it's spiritual in terms of aspiring to achieve the greatness, the eminence of the Avos. And the aspiration is the key. Then we saw Serach Bas Osha and the three major roles that she played, A, in identifying Moshe, B, in identifying the Oren of Yosef, and C, in informing Yaakov that Yosef was alive. That's why she was blessed with that longevity. And then that final idea from Shimshon of Ostropol, this Kabbalistic idea of Cain and Hevel, the Moshe, the Mitzri, etc., etc. Okay, let's leave it there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.